way up, belonged to a crime outfit. He was now at the car theft level, hungry for wealth and the tense excitement he found nowhere outside crime. The boy was a 20-year-old Bible salesman whose aunt raised him to be a Christian gentleman. He was hungry for adventure and good food. He had recently started reading the Bible on his own, rather than as directed by his aunt and church elders, and he hadn't been able to get past those first two chapters of Genesis, because they amazed and confused him. The man thought he recognized something smart and businesslike in the boy's stance, almost at attention, and he also sensed some gullibility and innocence. His last associate had not worked out. He slowed and pulled over in the rising dust. If this one didn't seem promising, he'd just let him out down the road. The boy loaded his things into the back seat, closed the back door, bent his head forward, and folded into the front passenger seat. The man noticed the boy's leftover belt end hanging down freely without being put through the first loop, his hair standing up on top and back. Maybe he won't so smart. "Nice car," said the boy. 50 Chrysler. He reached out his hand. "I'm Henry Dampier." Henry was surprised at the man's big hand, and he had big ears. He looked a little bit like Clark Gable, but without a mustache.
"Preston Clearwater," said the man. "Where are you headed?"
"Anywhere south, where it's a little warmer. I came up here earlier than I ought to have." The man was dressed up neat, and he'd shaved real close that morning, it looked like. He'd have a dark beard if he grew it out. He was wearing cufflinks, and Henry had never seen those except at a prom. "I'm selling Bibles," said Henry, "but it's too cold sleeping in warehouses and barns up in this high altitude." He noticed how smoothly the car glided over the dirt road. "Where are you headed?"
"Winston-Salem, or maybe Charlotte, for tonight anyway."
The night before, Henry had sat up late in a deserted warehouse, razoring out the front pages of new Bibles that had arrived in Chrysler General Delivery from Chicago in a cardboard box. Each page said, "Complimentary copy from the Chicago Bible Society." Henry looked at Mr. Clearwater's hands. They were clean. "What line of work you in?"
"None of your goddamn business," thought Clearwater. "Car business," he said. He pulled out a pack of Luckies, shook up a couple. "Cigarette?"
"Sure." Henry had bought his first ever pack of cigarettes only a few days earlier. Clearwater pushed in the cigarette lighter.
"Where you get your Bibles?"
"Where do I get my Bibles?" Henry looked at him. Could he know somehow? "That's kind of a long story." He did want to tell about it, this idea he got from the fiddle player at Indian Springs in Chrysler. Instead of ordering Bibles and having to pay, why didn't he just go ahead and order a box from one of those places up north, or in Nashville, Tennessee, maybe, that gave away Bibles? Tell them he had a bunch of sinners to give them to, razor out the pages that said they're free, and sell them. The fiddle player said he'd had that idea when he thought about selling Bibles himself, but gave it up when his wife had twins and his mama died. Henry had wondered if he was kidding, but took the idea anyway. So Henry had been ordering a box of free Bibles about once a month, each from a different place so that nobody got suspicious. In the letter to them, he kind of hinted that he was a preacher. But nobody got hurt, and in the end, more people ended up reading the Bible, which was good, and now his billfold, his spare billfold, stashed in his suitcase, was considerably thick with money, somewhere between $40 and $50, and some uncashed checks. He could go ahead and stay in a decent room for a change. And now here he was, riding in a brand new Chrysler, with a man who looked like he knew how to do things out in the world.
"This smells like a new car, too," said Henry. "It's pretty new."
Henry noticed the ivory-looking knob on the end of the gear shift. He couldn't